Well, and when you become a mom, and it's the same for dads, like, you have a camaraderie because you've been through this experience of, like, bearing, birthing a child, devoting yourself to them, being up in the night, feeding them, you know, and just that thing that happens to you, that magical transition that happens to you when you create your own baby and you have your baby, it's really like an indescribable experience. It's only something you understand if you've done it, if you've been a mom. The fatigue, the physical sacrifice that you made.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Larclean. A while ago, my wife and I decided that we were going to permanently switch to solutions to clean our house that were safe to use around our kids and our pets. And Larclean offers exactly that. They're powerful enough to be used in a medical setting and safe enough to be used around kids. In fact, there's no bleach, no alcohol, and it still kills 99% of germs. So if you're listening to this podcast and you want to give it a try, head over to larclean.com and use code THINKING10 at checkout to save 10% off your order. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Kayla Potter and Life Unlimited Coaching. One of the best things that you can do for your personal well-being and your business, believe it or not, is getting your health and fitness on the right track. Kayla helps you do that by ditching the yo-yo dieting, getting the results you want, eating the foods you love, and living life on your own terms. In fact, she's even given our listeners today a free meal prep hack guide. You can check out that link in the description of this podcast. You can also check out all of her other coaching at lifeunlimitedpro.com. So go check out Kayla and get your life on track. Thank you so much for listening. All right, Maren Drubay, everybody.
Hello. Welcome. Want me to look at the look at you. Look
welcome.
At the camera.
Welcome to the Thinking Project. We haven't done this in forever. We haven't done this ever, and I'm super. My wife, when I told Katrina, by the way, I was like, Maren's coming on. She's like, again? And I was like, no, she's never been on. And she's like, how have you not ever done that?
That's what I've been asking.
Yeah, you did.
I'm like, what's wrong? What's wrong with me?
No.
Why has Mian me on? We've been friends. We've gone on trips.
Yes, we've done everything together. Like, literally, our families are, your husband and I are inseparable.
I know. Dallin's like, the only other person I talk to on the phone more than you is Dalton, or as much, or like other than you is Dalton.
Yeah.
Like, great. Fantastic.
You're like, dude. But no, we were just talking about this because I wanted to get it on. But no, Disney TikTok, I got to put you into contact with this girl. She's a big Disney influencer.
Yeah.
But anyway, because you have park packs.
Yes.
Those are freaking sweet.
Yes, park packs. So we just launched them. There, right now we have like the kid park packs. We have plans to do the mom pack and the dad pack and stuff. I think that will be awesome. Like Dallin and I have already been kind of brainstorming, like what are the like features that would differentiate it? Because kind of what we did with the kid packs is like, what do kids really, really need when they're exploring? Not just Disneyland, like we're Disneyland focused, but anything park or eventually we want to do like kids like hiking in national parks too.
That'd be cool.
Cause we love that stuff too. But we kind of were thinking like, what do kids really need? Like they need it to be waterproof so they can wear it on like the water rides. They need it to be super easy to clean cause it'll get all sticky. We need it to be just the right size. So like we perfectly measured like what size does it need to be for like their little snacks and their little autograph books and their little trinkets and stuff. It needs to be a material that can have pins stuck all over it. Cause you know, kids at Disney love to collect pins. So we kind of just went into like every little detail. It took over a year to work with our manufacturer and get it just right. So we just released them. They're in pre-order right now. But in about 3 weeks, they'll be like regular 2-day shipping. So if you order right now, you won't get it for like 3 to 4 weeks. But if you order, you know, in a few weeks, then it will be like regular shipping.
But well, and we'll put this one out before then, but there's also a giveaway.
Yes.
That they may or may not, it may or may be sold out, but we should mention it anyway. It's a Disneyland giveaway.
Yeah. So we're giving away 2 tickets to Disneyland, 2 1-day tickets. So if you want to go more than that, you'll have to supplement more than that. Or like if you are like a Magic Key or annual pass holder, we'll just give you that amount in like a Disney gift card.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah.
I was talking to my wife about this. Disneyland is a lot more fun than people think it is, huh?
Yeah.
I get why people are like Disney adults. I'm like, dude, this place is fun. And it's and Anaheim is beautiful. You're like an hour away from the beach. So we'll do like 2 days at the park and then we'll scoot down to San Diego.
Yeah.
And go to like Huntington Beach or something like that.
California is fantastic. Actually, we're possibly moving out there.
Again, Marin?
Yeah. And I know it's like public forum, but
right.
I mean, we've been in plans to move out there for years, but it's a beautiful place and it gets a bad rap. But there are some really, really like safe, beautiful areas of California.
And I think the only place you guys are going to San Diego, looking at San Diego?
No, we're looking in like the Irvine area and surrounding like suburbs. Like we're looking at like Laguna and like Mission Viejo, that area.
Yeah. Okay, those are cool. That's probably the only place I would move to in California is like that central strip.
It's right literally there. Like a hub. Yeah, like I was talking to a real estate agent the other night, actually, and she's like, it's literally like a bubble, like because there are toll roads that go into it. Like you don't have crime. You don't have like it's super clean. They literally have nothing to do out there. So they fill in potholes right away, which is so different than other parts of California.
I was going to say, well, like San Diego. And just like I mentioned, that strip is probably the only place because it's also... I think California, one of the other reasons California gets bad rap is politically, but the San Diego, that central strip is more moderate,
you
like more middle
so
of the road.
So many families, like just kind of that Orange County and then down to San Diego. Like you have so many families and you have a lot of family values with people out there,
which is more moderate. And that's probably what is fine with, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I'm super moderate. Like I have a really hard time fully picking a side. And so
me too.
I like an area where there's a little of both.
I heard this super interesting stat. It was like, you need both. You need your conservative values and you need liberal values.
Yeah.
Like you need some things to stay the same and that can't change, but you also need to be like embrace the new and like be willing to change. And so that's what I feel like people don't get into. We don't need to make it a whole thing, but that's what has always, and then dang man, California is just expensive.
It's so expensive. That's the big thing. It is crazy because we have some friends who are like planning to move to Oklahoma and they're like, guys, we could sell our house and buy a house in cash with our equity in Oklahoma. Yeah. And we're like, we're going to sell our house and put every single penny into a California $1.5 million home and still our mortgage will double.
Yeah.
So that's the situation.
Yes. Here's the problem with going to the Midwest though, because that's where I'm from.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Illinois,
Illinois. Yeah. Katrina's from Illinois. I'm from Iowa. But here's the problem with doing that. It's like, yes, you can totally move out of Utah or California, buy a house in cash and like never look back. But that's just, you better not ever look back
because
you can go out really easy. You can't come back easy.
That's
like,
because
you cannot do the opposite. It's you can't sell an Oklahoma home and buy a Utah home or a Cali home in cash. Right?
It's so true.
Because I was talking to some friends about that and I was like, yeah, you can do it. Just be done though.
Don't look back. And also there's nothing for you to do out there. So embrace the farm life.
I know, I told, but Katrina likes that.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
I have to be in like a kind of a hustle and bustle. Things gotta be going on. I gotta be able to like go somewhere like, oh, there's a big event. Like that's kind of why I like Salt Lake because we're really close to everything.
Yeah.
There's a lot of events in Utah. A lot of like, if we wanted to go
there's
to Cali,
a ton going on.
We'll just hop on. It's an hour flight to Cali.
Yep.
Or whatever.
Yeah, it's a good central place here with lots to do.
Yeah,
and that's important to us too. We're like kind of a mix of both. Like, we love camping. We love just chilling at home and having the kids play outside. And like I'm a homeschool mom. Like in some ways, we have super like laid back traditional, like lifestyle values.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we just I don't know. We're so like bored easily that we just want to go. Like we literally jump in the car at least once a month and just head to Disney. Like, because we're bored. Like, let's go.
All right. How do you make that? Okay. You need to spill the tea on how you make that work.
Well, for one, Dallin has a good job and I think we're lucky that way. And I need to give him credit that way. He was like, you need to, like, when people ask, like, you give him all these like hacks, but like, give me credit. Like I have a good job.
I get paid, man. Yeah, okay. That's fair.
Dallin has a good job.
But you also hack it though.
But we also hack it. Kay. We have the magic key passes. Which are like the Disney.
Did they bring those back or are they done? Yes,
they're different. They're different.
They're different now.
We used to have the annual pass, which was just you buy it, you can show up any day of the week. And you can just show up. And so post-COVID, they changed it into Magic Key passes. So there's tiers. There's like this key, that key, this key. And they have different days where you're like allowed to go.
Yeah, there's some blackout days on all of them, from what I understand. Yeah,
even the top one, like you
can't
pay.
Go on Christmas. You have to pay if you want to go on like the big ones.
Yep.
Which, pause real quick. Why is Christmas the busiest day at Disney?
I don't
Christmas
know.
Day
it's
is the
so
busiest
busy.
Day.
And we would love to be there on Christmas because we've heard amazing things. Like, especially if you stay in the Disneyland Hotel on Christmas Eve, they'll like Santa will come and they do like the big, all the stuff, right?
Whoa,
so there are people cool. who just like, that's their Christmas. Like they go and they do that and that's what they do every
year. That's what we're going to do. Yeah.
Yeah. But and it's supposedly amazing. But again, like we love like just being home and having a chill Christmas
morning.
Yeah,
Christmas is different. Yeah.
But it is. It's a busy day. It's a really busy day.
Yeah, I was talking
day.
To some of the employees. Like we had a friend who worked there and he was like, it's the busiest day.
Yeah. Busiest day of the year. Everyone wants to be there on Christmas. And it's magical.
Yeah. I remember, can I tell you a funny story?
Yeah.
I surprised my wife. She had told me for like 3 years, she's like, her favorite holiday is Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been telling me for like that whole year, she's like, I want to go to Disneyland at Halloween.
It's like, that's it's it. Pretty great. Yeah.
And when then I got tickets, I was like, all right, I got everybody.
You got the Oogie Boogie Bash tickets.
Yeah. We got we did everything. I was like, we got tickets. We were there like the week before Halloween because Halloween itself was crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, well, we'll go the week before. I'm sure there's going to be stuff to do. Like everybody does. And yeah, dude, she just like cried. It was like the happiest moment of her life. I was like, let's go.
I didn't know she was so like sentimental about Halloween. How did I not know this?
It's like fall. It's like the fall. She loves fall. And so,
autumn, fall.
Yeah. And so Halloween.
It's so fun. It's, I mean, I have a really hard time picking like which holiday is more fun at Disney, but.
Oh, yeah. Which one? I mean, Christmas.
Christmas Halloween. Takes it for me just because of like the snow. Like they make it snow on Main Street, you know?
Wow.
It's so magical. Santa's there. You can meet Santa.
Yeah.
It's just the parade, the fireworks.
They make it snow though?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to Anaheim. I don't know. I like blue Christmases though. My wife though does not. She
really?
Likes white Christmases.
She likes a white Christmas.
Yeah.
I like a white Christmas too. And that's my one hang up about moving out there. I'm like, we'll have to come back and visit every December.
Okay. Yeah.
So our kids can see snow.
My wife said that cause I wanted to move to St. George at one point. I was like, let's go to St. George. Cause that's actually a pretty cool hub too.
Yeah. St. George is awesome.
Yeah. And I was like, well, let's go there. And she's like, does it snow? And I was like, No,
that's
it
the point though.
Yeah. I was like, they have palm trees. She was like, nah,
not for me.
I was like, all right.
I know it's so hard and it's
cause there was one point that St. George was really cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have some friends that live out there and they just love it. They're constantly like, when are you going to move out here? And we would be, 4 hours closer to Disney.
Ooh, holla. Okay. So, all right. So we got off on a tangent though. Disney hacks. What do you do?
Yeah, so the Magic Key, that's really the way we're able to go so much because the Magic Key pays for itself if you go twice. Like if you buy the Magic Key for your family and you go twice, you will have your money's worth. And then every trip after that's free, right? Other than the thousands you spend on food and merchandise.
You got to get there. Who doesn't?
Especially Dallin, my husband. He literally is the top spender in our family at Disneyland. Like you'd think it was me. You'd think it was me buying like all the merch and everything. It's him.
Really?
Yes. He's like, oh, I see like this big bag hanging on our stroller. I'm like, what's that? He's like, oh, I just bought something. I just bought a little thing. I look at it. It's like a $200 statue of the Pirates of the Caribbean. And I'm like, this is what you bought?
That's so awesome.
And this is what we're bringing around the park? He's like, I need it on my desk.
Good for Dallin.
So he's a big spender.
I did the same thing with my wife. I bought the lightsaber. I did the lightsaber thing.
Yep.
She's you've never even watched Star Wars. I'm like, that's not what it's about.
Wait a second. You've never watched Star Wars?
I've watched like a couple of them.
Dalton.
I know. I watched some of the OG ones. I watched some of the newer ones. But then I never got into all the... I was not a big... My favorite series of Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's great. I mean, you can't beat it. Especially that first movie.
Yes.
It's so good.
But Star Wars, though, I think it's just the nostalgia. Like, I can appreciate Star Wars, even though I'm not, like, a diehard fan.
The characters are just...
But, yeah, I can appreciate... Plus, it was inspired by one of my favorite authors, Joseph Campbell. So...
Yeah, it's... Well, you need to do, like, a full watch through. You really do.
All right.
We just did one with our boys. And they are...
Are they done?
So obsessed.
Are they done?
So obsessed.
I remember when we saw each other at Disneyland, and that was when I bought my lightsaber, and your boys were playing with that. Dallin was freaking out, but I was like, dude, whatever. It's just a lightsaber, bro.
Yeah.
Let them play with it.
No, they're so upset. In fact, if you go find our Disney page, there's a video of our kids. They have watched Star Wars so much that they can tell you with, like, each... section of music what's happening in the movie. And we made a video on May the 4th on Star Wars Day to show everybody. Like, I played different, like, sections of music. They're like, oh, this is the part where Obi-Wan meets Luke Skywalker. And, like, they know. Like, they're
That's pretty awesome.
Your little kids would probably love it.
Yeah, Travis would. He would love it. Lilia is... I haven't figured her out yet. She seems like... in between. She loves all of the cool stuff that we do, me and Travis do, but then she loves all of the stuff that Katrina, like hair, like they do hair and makeup all the time.
I know, yeah. She's pretty like a fashionista.
Yes, she is. Yeah. Lilia totally is.
Yeah.
I don't know. But her and Emmy reminds me a lot. They remind me of each other.
They're similar, like strong personalities.
Yes.
Very much hold their own.
Yeah. And I know. Whenever I see Emmy, I tell her that. I'm like, girl power, go do it, man.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want.
She's a good mix. Like, we were hiking yesterday, and my friend was like, I thought Emmy was a girly girl, but she's literally rolling in the dirt. And I was like,
right.
She's all things.
You got to be able to do that with three older brothers, I'm sure.
Yes. Balance.
That's full balance. Awesome. So the magic key passes. That's pretty, dude. I love Disney. And then, I got one hack from you guys. The Friends of the Park hotels.
Yes. The Howard Johnson.
Yeah. You can do the Howard
Hotel. That's the other way we've been able to do it so much. And like moving there would save us a lot of money.
The 10 hour drive there.
The money we would spend on our mortgage, we'd probably still be saving money because we aren't going to Disney and like paying.
How far away is Irvine? It's not that far.
Oh no, like 15 minute drive.
Oh, let's go.
To the parks. I know. And then 8 minute drive to Dana Point Harbor, the beach. It'd be so fun.
Yeah. Dana Point is really nice. We went down to, I don't know. We had I think it was Huntington Beach.
Yeah, love Huntington. It's so beautiful. A little more crowded, more touristy.
I know, we parked and I was like super scared. I was like, I'm going to get towed. I was like, but we can't find anything. We're only going to be here for like 30 minutes, 45 minutes checking it out. I was like, it was a rental car. So I was like,
uh-oh.
I was like, oh no.
Did you buy the insurance?
Yeah, totally. I don't know. I feel like that's a must.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right.
So the hotel, it's the Howard Johnson. It's right across the street. And I feel like you get close to like the Disney hotel experience because it's like themed and it's like a 5 minute walk. It has an amazing water park. You can see the fireworks from your room. So it's a good mix for a cheaper option. And then we have like a little partnership with them and they've been really supportive of us going out there. So we have a discount if anyone ever wants to stay.
There you go. All right, let's talk about this. Cause actually one of the reasons I started this podcast was your podcast, the Mamahood podcast.
Really?
100%. Well, I saw what you were doing and I was like, holy crap. Like, and it was just kind of one of those things. I was like, I could do that. And actually, let me tell you a funny story about that too. So the Mamahood podcast, I'm super passionate about like men and like what it means to be a dad and what it means to be a man. Cause I think, our culture has gotten a lot towards, which I think is good. I think we were so far one way that we had to get pulled so far the other way. And now we need to kind of come back to the middle.
Yeah, totally.
But I wanted to do, I texted a friend of mine and I was like, hey, I want to do a podcast just about like men and like fatherhood and like how to be a man. And I remember because that was just going to be like, I'm just going to do Maren's podcast.
Opposite.
I'm just going to do the father side of it.
The fatherhood.
Yeah. The fatherhood. Papahood. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was like, dude, this is going to be great. And I had like three friends, my guy friends go like, I don't know, man, that's going to be real. Cause it was, I wanted to start my podcast kind of in the height of all of the, you know, all of the craziness, surrounding like you know, Me Too and stuff like that. And they were like, I don't know if now is the time. And I had three people and I was like, all right, well, if three people are saying it, then maybe I'll just start something different.
Yeah.
And that's when it was business. But yeah, one day
you
would.
You should still do it.
Yeah, I think we should.
I think we need that voice. I think we really, really do.
And there's a lot of good, like, fatherhood podcasts out there that I've kind of stumbled across, but it's just kind of funky, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And, but anyway, but the Mamahood podcast is insane. Kind of blew up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the timing was really advantageous for us because really there weren't that many mom podcasts. Like, I remember there was like three major mom podcasts when we started, and it was so, the space wasn't so saturated. But that's the thing about podcasts though. Like, people listen to podcasts and add more podcasts to their queue endlessly. Like, it's not like...
It's like music.
Yes.
It's like I don't have always one favorite
room.
Author.
Yeah. There's always room for more with podcasting, which is... Yeah. And there's not that comparison aspect. Like, when you're on Instagram and you're comparing, like, followers and likes and all that stuff. But with podcasts, they're all just there and you can't tell, like, whose podcast is more successful than another. You just find the one that you like and you gravitate towards and then you add more. So I feel like there's always room for more.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Mamahood actually started as a Facebook group that was started by co-host Aubrey. She just started it one day. She was like, hey, I want to be able to talk to other moms online. And this was a long time ago, like 7 or 8 years ago. And it just kind of grew. Like, moms just added moms, just added moms, just added moms, because it was just kind of when our generation started being parents, you know, and we're the generation that's really embraced like social media and everything. And so we were kind of creating this space for parents on social media. And then Aubrey and I met and decided to kind of bring that community into podcast form. And it just exploded. It was
How did you pick podcasting?
So Dallin and I, my husband, he was like an audio editor, a video editor. He had all the equipment, and him and I had kind of done like a little podcast together.
I don't know if you know that. Yes,
yeah.
I do. I remember it was, that. And then Dallin had a podcast of his own for like a little bit.
For like three episodes. I know. I'm like, go back and work on your podcast, bub.
I know. I told him. I've tried to do a podcast with him a couple times.
He's so fantastic on the mic. Like, he's so well-spoken. And so we had done just like a little one just for fun with each other. And I had like other moms on as guests on that podcast, and that podcast was more centered around like marriage and family. And I was like, I actually really love chatting with moms about motherhood. And like, I feel like we need to have these conversations. And Aubrey and I were friends, and we started the Mamahood podcast, and we had this big party to start it, invited all these moms, and it just kind of turned into this space for moms where they can come and really like feel heard, feel understood. We do a variety of topics. Like, we'll have more lighthearted, funny ones. This last week we did one that was called Things We're Giving Up On as Moms, like kind of anti-motivational. Like, I'm not doing that anymore. You know, like mine was like, I'm not cleaning my house before bed. Like I used to do that all the time. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm just going to roll into bed and watch Seinfeld, you know, like I'm done. So we'll do more lighthearted.
Very cool.
Episodes like that. And then we do super deep, like
real ones. Yeah.
Postpartum depression, anxiety, fatigue, the things that often moms feel, aren't talked about, things they feel alone in. And, I feel like sort of tried to give a voice to those things and help moms know that they're not alone. And some of the messages we've gotten have been so humbling, because moms will say, wow, like I really thought I was the only one, or, you know, I didn't know I was allowed to talk about this. I thought I was just supposed to sit here and put on a smile and say like, oh, motherhood's just, you know, like it's so easy. It's so great. And no complaints here. And moms carry such heavy burdens on their backs while showing up with that smile on their face for their kids. And sometimes they need somebody to get on the mic and say like, we see you, we see that you're showing up. Even though you're exhausted, even though you have mental health issues, even though you have physical issues, even though you have financial problems, whatever it may be, and you're still showing up for your kids every day. And just putting that message out there I think moms gravitate to it because they feel seen, they feel heard.
Yeah. And I think it's, and I think that's so perfect because I think motherhood is just one of those things that really does fly under the radar. And then, yeah. and there's so many, and I think here's what's cool about the Mamahood podcast is there's so many mental health podcasts out there, but you don't treat like mom mental health the same way you would treat like single, even the same age,
it's
right?
Totally
like
different.
It's totally different.
It's totally different.
And so you kind of have to have those lanes where you're like, yeah. there is some crossover, but there's some things that if you just have never, if you don't have a child, you probably haven't experienced in the same way. Right.
Oh yeah.
And even then, and then I think it's just, and then I think it just boils down to representation at that point. It's like, I have a mom who like, our experiences might be different, but we're still, we all fall under that umbrella of mom.
Well, and when you become a mom, and it's the same for dads, like yeah. you have a camaraderie because you've been through this experience of like bearing, birthing a child, devoting yourself to them, being up in the night, feeding them, you know, and just that, that thing that happens to you, that magical transition that happens to you when you create your own baby and you have your baby, it's really like an indescribable experience. It's only something you understand if you've done it, if you've been a mom. The fatigue, the physical sacrifice that you make,
yeah.
it's really, really hard to understand unless you've done it. And so it is like its own category. Everyone has a mom.
Yeah.
Everyone has a mom, but they obviously, if they really think about it, it's like, whoa, I owe everything to her. Like, she's the reason I'm here. She's the reason I can talk. She's the reason I can walk. But moms get forgotten so often, and yeah. especially in these early years where we're really in it, like, we are in the game, you know, like 24/7, like with a toddler, you can't look away for a second. Like, you've got to be in
true.
The game
yeah,
constantly, 100%. No matter how 100%. Tired you are, even if you have a cold, even if you have, you know, I have multiple sclerosis, and that was like a huge lesson to me where I gained a ton of appreciation for other moms because I was having to show up, even though I was dealing with physical difficulties and grief and everything associated with that. And I was like, whoa, look at the ways my mom showed up for me when she was dealing with her own junk, you know,
yeah,
and she
yeah.
was still showing up. And you just gain an appreciation for moms when you really think about
yeah
the sacrifice, the toll, and moms need other moms to kind of like really get that from each other and understand it and not commiserate, but
yeah,
you know, relate.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And the whole aspect of the Mamahood podcast and what fascinated me was about the podcast just as a podcast was, yeah, how quickly that community grew, like yeah. how quickly people just gravitated to that. And like, I think you really see a need for things when that happens, when it's like, I don't know any of you, but I know I need to be here.
Yeah.
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah. And it's important, like from a business perspective, since I think that's what you focus on. Like, I think one of the things I've said to people when they've asked me advice on like getting a community to grow like that is to really find a niche. Like, I think there's a ton of motherhood pages, podcasts, TikTok, YouTube, all the things.
Yeah, there's
like
a ton.
Motherhood is a very saturated space, but finding your niche, finding that, like,
yeah, your mom's
within
the
mom. What's
that
one specific
yeah.
group that you're really going for? And for us, it was like those moms, like we've always said, the moms in the trenches, you know, the moms in the game, the moms yeah. down there yeah. right now battling like those early years with littles and yeah. dealing. And it's so wonderful and magical and beautiful. And I'm such an advocate for that. But it is like full time mental load. And we're like, we're going to find those moms. We're going to find those moms who kind of feel like they can't come up for air and they're just in it, you
yeah,
know, and
yeah.
we're going to speak to them. And I think that when you find your niche and you market to that niche and you know,
well, and when you say market, here's because it always used to bug me when I would read marketing books or things like that. And they would say, find your niche and then do all these things. But what I learned, and what you just highlighted really beautifully was the story.
Mm-hmm.
Like every mom, like everything that you just said, my wife has said,
oh,
and
yeah.
every mom that I know in that 0 to 5 mom is 0 to 5 year old child mom
yep.
is exactly what you said. And so it's like hearing that you're like, holy crap, I've heard that before. And then they go, where have I heard that? And they're like, holy shit, I said that. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, boom, that's it. Like, they get me because those are the words that I've spoken before. Yeah. That's what I heard. And that's pretty crazy, too.
Yeah.
And that's why so many businesses that I brought on so many crazy entrepreneurs who started a really successful business because of that. They were like, it was actually me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm marketing to myself. And I know that. Like, and what's that quote that I love the most? It's like, oh, you're special and unique just like everybody else.
Yeah, I know. Right? I know. But there really are so many people who need what you need. And if you can create it's like with the Park Packs.
Yeah.
It's like we created the product that we needed. We created the product that our kids needed.
Yeah.
We're creating the Instagram page. Like I've said this before on our Disneyland Instagram page. I'm like, I'm putting out the tips that I wish I had, but I had to learn these on my own. So I'm putting them out there because I needed these. And it's same with the mamahood. Like mm-hmm. we're creating the community that we really needed, the community we wish we had. We're saying the messages that we wish someone would have said to us. And sometimes that takes the work, right? That takes like, and that's why not everyone does it, is it can be very vulnerable to be the one to say it or to be the one to start it.
Yeah. But, and you got to take, I imagine that it probably hasn't been rainbows and sunshine doing a mamahood podcast. I'm sure. And this is my experience just interviewing lots of business owners who are women.
Mm-hmm.
And some not, but this has definitely been some of their experiences, which is like even moms kind of go after like those kinds of messages, right? Mm-hmm. Like I would never, mm-hmm. I would never. So, so I'm sure it hasn't been all rainbows and sunshine.
No, it hasn't. And it's funny because moms are like the best cheerleaders for each other, but then at the same time, moms can be the ones that tear each other down the most. And it's so sad to see. And it's something I wish didn't happen. Moms tear each other down for the choices they make as a mom. They tear each other down for the way they look, the way they act, the way their home is, their politics, their what they feed their kids, what they,
that's always baffling to me. That's kind of wild, huh?
Yeah, it is wild. And I love to just put out there this message of like, try to, you know, we always say moms need moms. That's like our catchphrase in our intro is like moms need moms, and a mom should never have to apologize to another mom. You should never have another mom come in your home and say, I'm so sorry for the state of my home. Like moms should really have each other's backs. And unfortunately, and this has been the case for me, like I'll say something on the podcast and my inbox is flooded with, well, you know, here's why this product isn't great and you shouldn't use this around your kids.
Yeah, everybody's got their 2 cents. Like, go make your own damn podcast and then you tell me, right?
Yeah, like, or if you can't speak exactly to someone's experience, sometimes that's like offensive to them because...
Wild.
You know, like, and I can only speak to my own experience being a stay-at-home mom, being a mom who's able to devote myself to motherhood. So I'll upset a lot of single moms. I'll upset a lot of working moms because like, well, your message doesn't apply to me. And so, and you really can only put out the message out there that you can. You can only say what you know.
Yeah, you're like, I don't know what it's like to be a working mom, right?
Right.
Or whatever. I mean, I don't
know.
And
we'll have guests on who can speak to that. And that's important, but
I feel like that happens in every community. Well, I was just telling you a story about when I wanted to start like a man, like, you know, a father or like a manhood podcast or something. And even from my guy friends, I'm like, wouldn't you want to hear this? Because what I feel like is happening right now with a lot of people, a lot of men who are dying by suicide or a lot of men who are struggling with mental health is we're trying to treat it like women, like a mom's mental health or like women's mental health.
And it's so different.
And it's not the same thing. Yeah. Like, we need to be loved and accepted. And I would love to feel that. But more than anything, like, I want to feel that I'm capable of doing something.
Yeah.
And men get in this corner where, and they feel like they can't get out of it and they're not capable of getting out of it. And that's not the same thing as being loving. Like, I can't love and accept you out of that. You have to like feel that and come out. And so, it's just wild. But I had friends who were like, nah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, but dude, that doesn't mean
I think you should do it.
That's wild.
There's always going to be naysayers, but then you're going to find your people. You know, you're going to find the people who do need the message that you have to share. And
I think it's just crazy too. I'm just exploring this because this is a podcast. I usually do like I have questions. Like when you said, I was like, no way, me and Marin are just going to chat.
Yeah.
Cause we have fun. But it's just wild. How did you come up with some of the ideas of like, here's what we're actually going to talk about on the Mamahood podcast? I'm sure it was a lot of like audience feedback, but in the beginning when you didn't have a ton, What made you pick the topics?
At the start, it was actually kind of hard to figure out what we were going to do because we didn't have the audience feedback. We didn't know what people wanted. Aubrey and I literally sat down and we made a list on our phone of like, what are the topics that we wish we could hear? What are the topics that we want to be out there and talked about? We dove in, like our first little group of episodes really ran the gamut and we just dived in. We dived into postpartum depression, dove into body image for moms. Yeah. That's a huge one. One that's now talked about a lot, but in 2018, it wasn't as much.
Yeah.
Body image, fatigue was a big one that we talked about at the start. We talked about some messages that weren't being said, like, hey, maybe we need to be more cognizant of our kids' feelings throughout the day. That was something that wasn't really being talked about a lot. So we kind of just thought about what were the topics that we needed.
Yeah.
And then we weren't always experts on it. So we'd bring other people on. We had a lot of really good guests at the start and we'd reach out and ask people to come on and share. And now we actually have a variety of co-hosts that kind of rotate and with a variety of life experiences and opinions, totally just different types of moms in so many ways. And I love that.
Yeah. Let's talk about raising kids though in 2023, 2024 and going forward, I don't know what that generation's called, but we have kids in that same,
whatever they are, boomlets, I can't remember what they're called.
I can't remember either, but they're going to be, Gab Wireless.
Yeah.
So I've had the CEO of Gab on, Nate Randall, shout out to Nate Randall, and a ton of other people on who would talk about raising kids in this crazy time with technology. But I actually kind of want to hear your thoughts. And I mentioned this to Nate when I was on the when he was on the show we talk about kids and technology, but we don't talk about parents with kids and technology.
Yeah.
Because I feel like right now we're in this weird cultural thing where it's like almost like we want to make sure that our kids don't feel some type of way without technology, that we're just, or anything, that we just give it to them and then we'll try to figure it out later. And I don't know if that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, everyone has really strong opinions on
it. They have very strong
opinions. And that's not it for me. I mean, we're pretty, I love Gab. We've worked with them before with the Mamahood. So shout out to them too. I think what they've done is so fantastic and so phenomenal. I know of several really sad stories of teens who have lost their life or who have ruined their life with social media.
Yeah.
And I think it's now... And
just like the technology just in general.
Yeah, it's super addictive. We've had guests on our show talking kind of the science and the statistics of kids with technology and how specifically technology that they hold in touch kind of wires their brain in a different way.
I've noticed that. My kids don't... We used to... I learned the lesson, my wife and I, with giving our kids iPads. So now we restrict screen time quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I remember when it was they were way different, an hour or if they'd been on the screen too long and it was pinpointed. So now we've changed, but it's wild.
Yeah. Well, and to each their own, I'm so against parent shaming. Every parent is doing the best that they can, but, with the information that they have.
Yeah.
But I heard it said from an expert, I'll have to send you who it was later so you can quote them in your notes because I can't remember. Yeah. But they were saying social media and iPads and things like that is going to be when people were letting their kids smoke in the 80s. And then eventually they were like, whoa, oh my gosh, now we're seeing the effects of this and we cannot allow that. And they're going to pull back from it.
Yeah.
Or kind of some of the stuff that they would feed us in the 90s.
The food pyramid was the worst, pyramid, the worst was like thing.
Bread.
Yeah,
it was like the big food groups. Like, make sure you have enough bread.
You're like the worst thing. Like the food pyramid and the DARE program, two of the worst programs for kids in the history of it.
So funny.
Yeah. But yeah, I
think
it'll
be that way. I think eventually they're going to be like, I cannot believe we had kids on.
We let kids watch an hour.
Social media. Yeah. I can't believe we had kids on iPads. I can't believe we had kids on YouTube.
Yeah, you know, that's because great. Well, my kids are not allowed on YouTube. There's no way in hell I would.
But so
ever
many
let them
are. So many
I know.
Are.
I know. And yeah. I was there was a person. There was a really. I don't know if I should mention the name, so I won't. But there was a really famous YouTuber that was like just for kids, and I was like, whoa, this is awesome. Where was this? And my wife was like, YouTube, and I was like. No. Yeah. I was like, even though this was great, I was like, immediately, I was like, nope. If she had an app, and even if she charged me 10 bucks. Yeah, even if she charged 10 bucks a month for all this content on an app, I would do that before I would ever let my kids go on
YouTube.
There's
so much junk. And there's even junk on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to monitor
everything. On Netflix now. And sadly, we have to be super vigilant with what our kids are consuming.
Yeah, I know. I remember when my mom... Or would like listen to a song or like watch a movie before I would. And I was like, Mom, that's so lame. It's PG-13, whatever. It's a song, whatever. And now I do that with my kids. I'm like, nah, you're not watching that unless I get to watch it.
I know.
And it's not for anything other than like, cause some stuff there's like, sometimes it's not politically charged for me or like whatever charged for me. Sometimes it's like, dude, this show is like not, I mean, it's like making, it makes, sometimes it makes parents look like they're dumb. Yeah. So they like one time my daughter came in, she was talking wild to me. And I was like, what do you do? I was like, first of all, don't ever. Second of all, where did you get that from? And then I watched one of the shows she was watching and the dad was like dumb.
Yeah.
And I was like, No. That's not real life.
Yeah.
Like if funny in a cartoon, I'm not a dumb dad.
Not real life. I know. I turned into like, my mom because I joke with Dallin. I'm like, my mom would always make me like we were a PBS Kids family growing up. Like,
oh, cool. Yeah. Cool.
Nickelodeon and Disney Channel were like special treats, right? Like,
oh, cool.
During
okay.
March Madness, when my parents paid for cable, then then we could, you know, consume
get a couple
Disney Channel or Nickelodeon or whatever. And but my mom would always be like, oh, I don't want you watching Lizzie McGuire or whatever it is. You're gonna learn to be a big brat, or you know. And now,
there's a balance with that.
Now
right?
That's me though. Like I'm like, oh, I don't like how that kid's acting on that show. We're not watching that.
I do that all the time. I do that all the time. I do that sometimes, not because I don't parent shame either, but I also don't let my kids hang around kids who like talk back to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
I go, no way, dude. In that house, and I tell my kids, I go, in that house, that's how they communicate, and that's their house. They can do that,
mm-hmm.
and that's not how we communicate with each other. Mm-hmm. And so I do that, but I make sure my daughters understand that, and my son understands that. I go, they have their own rules in their house, and that's totally fine. If you ever say that to me, we're going to have a problem.
That's not going to fly in our house. I know, and that's how it is. Like you mentioned, raising kids today, like. That's really how the conversation has to go with our kids. Like, not everyone's going to do it this way, but here's why we're doing it this way.
Yeah.
And here's why we've chosen to do it this way.
Yeah.
And like, that's something Dallin and I talk about a lot is like, we've been very firm. We've never brought an iPad into our home. And, at first our parents were like, why can't the kids play on the iPad? And, or why can't I show them this such and such thing or whatever?
Yeah,
we would almost get like parent shamed at family gatherings because like the other nieces and nephews were able to
play on their iPads
or do social media or whatever. And then one day my mom finally said to me, she was like, I see it. Like I see the difference. Not like a comparison, but almost just like, I can see why you've made that decision. I can see the benefit of it in your
kids.
And
this is also, I think what you're trying to say, and maybe I'll help, but like different doesn't mean better or worse.
No.
It just means it's different.
No, it's just different. It's just whatever you do as a parent will make an impact on your kids. Not necessarily something that can't be undone or changed, but whatever choices you make will make an impact on your kids. So try and be intentional about it. Try and think through it. Try and take your role as a parent. And I think that's something that's super controversial and something that people don't.
Well, that's why I brought up so many podcast episodes when you talk about children in tech are about children in tech.
Yeah.
But like not about like parents being firm and sticking to a decision. Like I have friends my age or like older than me and they're like, they'll do these things with their kids. And I'm like, are you kidding me, man? Mm-hmm. Just tell them no. But that's how I felt. Like I grew up in a Polynesian home.
Yeah.
And it did nothing. Like, we all turned out fine. I mean, okay, we grew up in a Polynesian home, but we all turned out fine for the most part. But I think the biggest thing that we learned, like, I have a lot of stuff that I have to overcome and I had to learn as a new parent. But the one thing that still sticks with me from that upbringing was like, you know, there we like, it's respect. It's like being nice to people and like, and just like respecting another person just as a person. Like when you're a kid, everybody's older than you.
Yeah.
And yeah, you respect people who are, and like, and also like there's rules that you have to follow. And like, sometimes you don't get to know the reason why. And I think that's what parents, everybody's in this, like, tell them why, tell them why. And I'm like, you're not old enough to understand why.
Yeah.
Like I can't tell a 4-year old.
It depends on the topic. But I think that in some ways we almost, it's so funny. Like, parents just can get very passive. And I think in some ways we don't expect that our kids can understand something and we don't explain it. And That's fair. In some ways we are explaining to our kids like these adult topics that their little brains cannot understand.
Right.
And we're expecting them to embrace like these political things
or whatever.
And they're kids, like they need to be kids. Yeah. And so as a parent, I just think, and sometimes we as parents, I think because we just live in this world that's like, so like, whatever you do, like you do you, like,
which blows my mind, by the way.
And we feel like we aren't even almost allowed to teach our kids certain values.
That's
and
right.
Principles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I just think whatever your values and principles are, again, like no parent shaming for me, like whatever you feel super important about with teaching your kids, whatever values and principles you really feel passionate about with your kids, just own it, just teach it, just like take your role as a parent seriously. And
well, that's what my point was like, we're afraid to like, oh, if I teach, for example, like if I teach this certain principle and they go to school and learn something different, like now there's a big conflict. But I don't, but that's how I teach my kids, is I'm like, I'm going to teach you one thing. You're going to go to school and you're going to hear something totally different. And that's fine. But you need to understand that like, we don't like, we can live together and not share the same beliefs. Mm-hmm. This is what we believe.
Yeah.
And you don't need to be mean or shame anybody who believes differently. But like you have to take a stance.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know what I mean? Especially when you're young. Well, cause I was mentioning like, I can't tell my 4-year old, like my kids right now, Lily's almost 7, Travis is 5. They don't understand the concept of dying. Mm-hmm. So if I tell them you have to look both ways before you cross the street, otherwise you'll die, they're like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if I say, hey, you gotta look both ways across the street because you get really hurt,
they get scary.
Yeah. They're like, oh yeah, I don't wanna be scared I don't wanna get hurt. All right, mm-hmm. deal. Right? Like then we'll graduate to this could kill you.
Yeah, one thing at a time. It's like, funny. We have a funny story about that actually, because my little Henry, he's 6 now. But
shout out Henry.
Henry boy. But when he was like 3 and 4, he was so obsessed with like all things spooky. Like he loved ghosts and zombies and all the stuff. And we could not figure out why. Because me and Dallin aren't that way. Like we were just like, we don't care. Anyway. He was so obsessed, and we were teaching him, like, because he tried to run out in front of a car in front of our house, and we were trying to teach him, like, if you die, like, if you do that, you're going to die. You won't be here anymore. You will die. And he's like, no, I want to die so I can be a ghost.
Oh,
I really want to be a ghost. And we're like, okay, that didn't work. That did not go as planned.
Well, he doesn't understand. Like, you know, but yes, that's
funny.
And
we're
like
scaring him, like, no, it's not fun to be a ghost. You can't eat candy. you can't go Disneyland anymore if you're a ghost. But yeah, I know. Sometimes it backfires when you try to teach certain subjects to your kids.
Well, and like you gotta try to go like to no, and I've done that before, and you're like, I would hear that and I'd be like, right on, dude, okay, that's not all right, but I get it though. But that's
here's
cool
why
though.
It sucks to be a ghost, okay. Hear me out.
But then
hear
you gotta do that. No, that's funny, dude, that's funny. But just to the parent thing, I think that's also why, like, I mean, kids just when I was a kid or whatever, you just don't understand all that stuff. And social media is like a drug, dude. And you're just not mature enough, like, to understand the things that are happening on social media.
I mean, honestly, if I think back on like who I was when I was 15, 16, even 17, 18.
Mm-hmm.
And if the decisions I made then determined my life, I'd be in big trouble right now. Like I was not, even at that age, even not technically like old enough, an adult, whatever, like the decisions I made then, I I would not be in a good spot. Like, it takes a long time to fully, like, be able to make good decisions. And again, back to kind of passive parenting, I think parents feel like they're not allowed to set restrictions on teenagers or guide them in any way.
Yeah. I think some of it's passive. I think some of it's just scared. Yeah. Like, some people are just like, I don't know. All I know is I don't want X to happen.
Yeah.
So whatever I can do to make that not happen.
I don't want my kid to be mad at me. I don't want my kid to hate me.
Yeah. Or even more serious than that. Like, I don't want my kid to take their own life.
Right.
And so all I have to do is, like, make sure that doesn't happen, but you're just feeding this. So there's a philosophy, or excuse me, let me back up. In Buddhism, so there's realms that you go to. I mean, obviously you hope you go to Nirvana, but one of the realms is the realms of the hungry ghosts.
Oh.
And what that is this is funny for Henry, ghosts never get full. You're chasing this thing that never fills you up. So a lot of it is addiction. So they'll compare the realm of the hungry ghost to addiction, because you never get, after the first one, it spikes your dopamine so high that you can never get back to there. And so that's what you're chasing, the ghost.
You're always chasing it.
Yeah. And what I try to teach my kids, and I do it in different ways, but essentially the message is like, and for parents is like, you're in the realm of the hungry ghost right now. Nothing you do right now is ever going to satiate this need. So you have to stick to a certain set of things, like, and just stick with it. Like, you know, it's not as bad as you think it's going to be. Like, it's not as bad as the alternative, which is whatever the alternative is. So in, like, addiction, for example, the withdrawals that you go through are never as bad as not, like, yeah, once you go through that fast, you'll actually get to a point where you can do this instead of always chasing it this way. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's just wild. And so I try to tell parents whenever I meet with my friends or whatever, I'm just like, dude, you got to just stick to it, man. Like,
I really, really see this generation of parents really turning things around. I really do. I can count on one hand the amount of friends I have who aren't actively concerned about this with their kids and trying really hard to kind of reverse it.
I think it's like the Gen Z parents that I see sometimes.
Really?
That I'm just like, well, the high school kids right now. Like,
Gen X.
Oh, whoops.
Yep. I was like, I don't think Gen Z are really parents yet. They're starting.
Gen X. They're starting. But whoever has got the teenagers right now, because I work with some teenagers, and I don't know, man, I'm like, kind of like, but this is also why I care so much about being a dad and being a man, is because you need both. You need the stoic dad who, you know, and then you need the very loving and caring mom, and then you need to meet together, right? Because that's how I'm the stoic dad with my kids, and my wife has to, every once in a while, she goes, Dalton, she checks me, and I'm like, that's when my loving and acceptance kicks in, because I've trained myself, and I go, okay, you're right. This is a time when I need to embrace this and not be that. But there's sometimes when my wife goes, hey, I need you to, and I need to be the stoic dad, right? And then I go, and then I need to be the stoic dad, and then they go to mom, and she needs to be the loving mom, and now we have a balance, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes when I'm with those kids, I'm like, you need to be the kind of like the stoic dad who just like, no, there are principles and there are values and there are things that you need to learn, and it's not fun. And I do that with teenagers, and then I get sometimes like at church, I'll be like, no, because I'll be like pretty stern with people. I'll be like, you know, the boy will do something. I'm like, what are you doing? Get back there, sit in your chair. Don't open your mouth again. And they'll tell their parents, and what did you tell my son? He was being disrespectful in class. I checked him. Oh, we don't do that. I'm like, all right, that in your house, that's cool. If I'm teaching, that's different.
Yeah,
but
I know.
But you're like, I just get baffled. I'm like, you need both. Like, we can't always, you have to have, what did your mission president call it? My wife uses it all the time. The velvet hammer or whatever.
Yeah, it's you have to have a balance. You have to have both. Yeah. And like for me, I don't even know if you ever talk about like religion or anything on here.
Ahead.
But like for me, it's kind of like how Christ is supposed to be. Like I think we all kind of interpret him in different ways, but for me I see him that way. He's firm on his principles, he's firm on his values, but he's ultimately very loving and forgiving and gives endless chances.
Yeah.
And so Jalen and I really try to take that route with our parenting. Like these are the principles. This is right from wrong. And there are black and white principles that are right and wrong.
Yeah, there are a lot of those.
But we are endlessly forgiving of you. And we are endlessly loving and accepting of you. Even if you mess up, no matter what you do, you can always come to us and you'll receive endless love and forgiveness. But that doesn't mean there aren't principles that that we aren't going to constantly stand by and teach you and make sure that you understand fully that not everything in the world is gray. There are black and white, right and wrong choices, you know?
Well, and I know, and it just blows my mind that some of the parents in high school, and this is just my opinion, and I'm definitely going to get flack for this, but I just feel like at some point parents need to accept responsibility for exactly what is happening in our high schools right now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so easy to pass the buck to these inanimate objects, social media, whatever, mm-hmm. kids will be kids, whatever. And I'm like, no, you need to, like, there has to be some accountability because they're too young to understand responsibility. That's why we have to teach them.
I heard the analogy once that, like, handing your kid a smartphone with unlimited access to the internet, which so many people do, sadly, is like handing your kids. It's like literally just handing them, like, if you were to compare it back in the day, just like, here's a giant basket of magazines with endless porn in them. Here's a giant endless basket of books that where you can learn about anything and you can see anything and you can hear anything. Right. But parents don't see it that way because they just see it as this harmless little piece of technology that's just small. It's like they have access to endless amounts of
anything,
not just information, but anyone else has access to them. And that's the big thing too. Is that, and there's all this information out there now about how people are accessing our kids through social media. And so even if you have the principle as a parent, like, I am going to let my kid be exposed to anything because I want them to explore that, which I've met parents who do have that opinion.
Sure. Cool.
You are allowing your kid to be accessed by anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody can message your kid. Anybody can access your kid. Anybody can see pictures of your kid.
Yeah.
Anybody can see your kid's location.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, but here's the crazy thing with me. I have no problem giving, like, all types of perspectives to my children. Like, I grew up in I was mentored religiously by my uncle who, like, purposefully made me read different religious texts, like the Quran and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no problem giving my kids all the info and then guiding them and helping them understand. Right. But here's the scariest part for me is kind of like what you said, these social media companies, like, why do you think there's an app for kids targeted to 13-year-olds, 14, 15-year-olds that when you send a message, it disappears? Why do you think there's an app like that exists?
That is
scary.
They don't care about our kids.
That's scary as shit. Well, that's the other point is, like, not like anybody can access it. They can access anything, but your kids are being told a story and the marketing is forcibly shutting out parents. Like, back in the day, if you wanted to market to kids, you had to go through parents. And so you had to go through the values of the parents. You don't have to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And kids don't have their own values.
Yeah.
They don't.
Like, well, and as much as we want to believe, like, my kid will tell me everything. Like, I was literally such a good kid. I really was. Like, I was an A+ student. I was, you know, I obeyed my parents. I didn't get in trouble. I was still so, like, I still kept so many secrets from my parents, and I still just did what teenagers do. And you just don't tell your parents everything. And your kids are seeing things that they're not telling you about, and they are getting messages that they're not telling you about.
Right.
And that's just the truth.
Yeah.
And you have to accept that. And then you have to figure out what you're going to do about it.
Yeah. Well, like I mentioned before, like, those parents who are like, I want my kid to be exposed to everything. Cool. Expose it. You expose them to it. Don't let them find out, dude. Cause, like, I love stories.
Mm-hmm.
I love storytelling, and it's not what you say in the story, it's how you say it. And so if I, like, for example, you know, we brought up religion earlier, and this is just a really funny example that I give, but it's also very powerful about how it can change. It's like, all right, so there was a young boy who realized that there was a lot of going on in his life, and he couldn't figure out what was right, what was wrong. Even though his parents were in a position to tell him. So he goes to the woods and he prays, and eventually he prays and he gets enlightened, right? He sees God, and God tells him exactly what he needs to do. And then he goes out and he starts living a better life. He gets answers to his questions. He starts gathering a following, and then he's ultimately killed for what he believes in. What was the story I just told you?
Joseph Smith.
And? That is the exact same story of the Buddha.
Oh, yeah.
It's also the story of Jesus. It's also the story of Muhammad.
My brain went to Joseph Smith, but it is so true.
But it's so crazy, though, because there's that story by itself. If I took out all the names, that's the story of Muhammad, the Buddha, Jesus, all of these other people, Joseph Smith, all of these people. But it's like, it's not what the story was. It's how they told the story. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, that gives me chills because, like, I can tell my kid, this is what the story is. And then you can tell him the exact same story and he'll get a totally different message. And by the way, none of those, I don't religious bash, do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
But imagine that story if we flipped it to pornography.
Yeah.
Someone else who doesn't like, cause I've been to therapy before and I've struggled with certain things and they've been like, the therapist has been like, so is that bad? And I'm like, what are you talking about? if I didn't think it wasn't, I wouldn't be here. But like,
mm-hmm.
So there are some people out there who will tell the same story to your kids and they will not get the same story.
Yeah. Yep. And everything, that's the thing about the internet is that everything is told through everyone's perspective. Mm-hmm. And then everybody on the internet is suddenly an expert. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about TikTok. We mentioned TikTok at the start of this.
Your
kid is scrolling on TikTok more than any other social media platform. And anybody who puts a video on TikTok is stating something as fact. And your kid is watching it and accepting it as fact.
Yeah.
And that's just a random joke. So
adults do that.
Yes. And as adults, we know that. As adults, we can watch a video and say like, nah, I don't agree with that. Or no, I don't think that's true. Or I'm going to fact check that.
Or
and
I don't have to have an opinion on it next.
Right. Moving on. But our kids, they don't. I mean, even as a 20-year-old, I remember being on a mission and like, talking to people and they were like telling me things and I was like, oh my gosh, like this is crazy, like this is mind blowing. And now I get home, I'm like, what was that whack job saying? Like that was not true. So even into like our 20s, I just think we don't always have the ability to decipher information and figure out what's true and what's not. And our kids are just hearing anyone's an expert on TikTok.
Yeah.
Anyone's an expert on Instagram, on YouTube.
Right.
And kids just,
there has to be a filter that's a parent's job. You have to filter down info and then do it in a way. But also like, I've also come to the sad reality of like I'm not going to leave my kids unscarred. Like mm-hmm. I'm going to make some mistakes, but
totally.
You have to be cool with that.
Yeah.
Like they're probably going to go, my daughter's probably going to go to therapy because of me one day. And not because I didn't love her, because I did whatever to her, just because I taught her some things that I thought were right that might not have been right. Weren't right for her, or like who the hell knows what education looks like in 15 years.
I know.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. Like right now it's like I have 2 degrees. So I teach my kids education, go to college, but college might not even exist.
I know.
They might have to go to therapy because I was supposed to go to college and now it doesn't exist. My dad's a liar.
Well, we try our best. I mean, I ask myself this every day. I pulled my kids out of school a year ago. We homeschool and I genuinely feel like it's the right thing for our family.
Yeah.
And I see the benefits of it. But then I ask myself every day, I'm like, are my kids going to hate me one day for this decision?
For being homeschooled.
Are they going to be so grateful that they had this experience, or are they going to just hate me for it?
Yeah.
You know, and we can only do our very best as parents and we can only get really good at saying sorry. and that's a big thing is I say sorry to my kids every single day. I sit with my kids and I say, did I say anything or do anything to you today that made you feel sad? That made you feel like I didn't hear you.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. And that's the thing is as parents, that's all we can do. We do our very best and we apologize if we mess up and then we move on.
Yeah. I do that with my daughter too. I yell the ish and I yell the sweetheart.
Right.
Or like I should have done this or whatever. And it was same with my son. But that's okay though. I think but it's just mind blowing to me that like, I think there needs to be a bigger conversation with parents and not with kids. Cause kids don't understand like this is a drug that especially like, look, it's any kid, but especially a kid here in Utah, or in a family where like they're not exposed to it. Like this is a hard drug. Like you've never had experience. Like I grew up in a hometown where like meth was number one, meth and heroin were number one. So we'd see people like that all the time.
Yeah.
And like, so if somebody would have came up to me in my hometown and been like, this is meth, I'd have been like, oh yeah, no, thank you.
No,
I'm good.
Yeah.
But
yes,
like,
you would have
dude, you need
that.
To like freak it. We need to treat it like that. We need to like really do. I mean,
kids just see like all the other kids have it. Kids just want it because the other kids have it. It's the equivalent. I mean, things were so much tamer when we were in high school. Like for me,
that's true.
I want Vans because everyone has Vans. Now all the kids are like, I want TikTok because everyone has TikTok.
Right. But
it's the same principle. They just want what everyone else has.
And I had conversations with the safe tech community, with Gab, and they were talking about that, about this idea that like, the more that parents start to like band together, that's who needs to band together. Parents need to come together
we need to have a
town hall and be like, hey, look,
can we all just agree? Yeah. Like, and I'm putting this out there and I have put this out there so many times. Like, can we all just agree? Can we all just say like, hey, generally, even if some kids have been okay with it, generally, most kids have not been okay with social media. Can we just decide collectively not to give that to our kids? Like, it would make it so much easier on all the other parents if we weren't having to constantly
be the one. We all need to band together and be like,
I know.
We need to teach her. And here's the last thing I'll say, and then I'll let you go because you've been awesome. But like, one of the values that I have really felt passionate about and prayed about, and one that I need to teach my kids and any kid that I come in contact with, is the value of resiliency. Mm-hmm. Like we are not going to eradicate bullying. I get bullied and I'm a professional. Mm-hmm. I'm 30 years old. I have 2 degrees and I get bullied at work.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
Yeah.
And I've been bullied.
We're
at work.
We're all bullied in some way. Yeah, even now
it's not going away. So like when you go into high school, like Lilia, I tell my kid at the beginning of school, where she's about to start second grade. I go, you're in second grade, you're going to get bullied. Somebody's going to say something to you. They're going to pick on you. And it's going to be for no other reason than they just saw you that day and wanted to pick on you. Mm-hmm. You need to like stick up for yourself, get out of bad situations. And then I go, baby girl, it's going to suck. And you just need to deal with it to some extent. Like, yes, get yourself out of bad situations. Yes, defend yourself. And I do all of those things to make sure my daughter can do that. But like, then the last lesson I tell her is, and you're not going to feel good and it's going to suck, but you need to keep going anyway.
Sometimes life is so hard and sometimes you just have life to keep sucks. Going.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't get bullied by other people. Sometimes I bully myself.
Yeah.
Sometimes life just kicks you right in the nuts, dude. And you need to just like, but that's what I try to teach her. And because that's what I feel like is missing with some of our youth is like, oh, I'm supposed to be in it. This is supposed to be a safe space. This is supposed to be a safe space. If I'm around people who are like me, then I'm never going to get. But like you mentioned earlier, it happens with dads, happens with moms, happens with race. Mm-hmm. Like some of my friends in the Polynesian culture will say some of their biggest deterrents are in the Polynesian culture. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, you just have to go.
Have to be you, and you really have to just stand by what you believe in and find your people. Right. I think that's the biggest thing is just find the people who.
Yeah, find your tribe and like find the people who
love you and who love you for you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned throughout all of the businesses and the different things we've worked on is like, so you really cannot live apologetically to every single viewpoint and every single person. You have to pick your principles and stand by them and be confident.
Yeah. And you can't make everybody happy and there are going to be people who don't like you for no other reason than you're just you. Like they just don't like you. Yeah. And you got to be really cool. And so that's why resiliency and grit are like big ones for me, because I've already told my daughter, who's going to be 7. I'm like, you're not getting anything, dude. All your friends, some of her friends in second grade have iPhones. Mm-hmm. I'm like, sweetheart, I love you. And their parents love them. You're not ever getting that.
Yeah.
And it's for no other reason than I cannot let you have it. I can't. She's already arguing. I was like, you'll get a Gab thing or whatever, because like that's fine, whatever, have a little bit of fun. But
I've told my kids this with different principles. They thankfully haven't asked about phones yet, but it's just like my job is to raise you the best I can and take the very best care of you, and ultimately and I say this to my kids every day, ultimately my job is to keep you safe. That is my job. Like, love you, teach you, but I'm the barrier here keeping you safe. And so when you're a grown up, you can decide what feels safe for you.
Yeah.
But as a parent right now, I decide what I have to decide what feels safe to me for you. And this doesn't feel safe.
Yeah.
And so we're not going to do that because that's not safe. And you know, I have little kids. So the extent of that right now is like, you know, you can't go over there and do that thing. But, but I know we're going to have hard, difficult conversations when they're older. And I'm going to say the exact same thing. My job is to keep you safe. And I don't see that as safe.
Yeah.
And when you're an adult, you can decide if it feels safe to you. But right now, like, that's the thing. And
you can't do it.
You have to be a lion for your kids because no one else is. Like you mentioned, the social media companies, they're not watching out for your kid.
No.
They just want another customer. And the other people they're connected with online, they're not looking out for your kid.
They don't care. Yeah, they don't care.
So ultimately, at the end of the day, you have to be the one who's looking out for your child the very best that you can, whatever that means to you.
Yeah.
And whatever principles.
Well, you know, and again, it's just kind of one of those things. It's like, yeah, I've honestly thought about homeschooling, but it just, in our family right now, doesn't make a lot of sense just because of us. Right. You know?
Yeah.
You know
what I'm saying. And like, you know, I want to say this, like, I am not one of those homeschool moms that like feels like it's a moral issue. Like you like this is the one only way. Literally one of our main reasons for doing it was that I just suck at getting my kid to school. Like we are just too spontaneous.
I love that.
We just need too much flexibility in our schedule. Like that was the main reason.
That's great. Yeah.
We need more flexibility. Yeah.
But I wish I could put my kids, do something like homeschool with my kids. And the reason is because I did not think I was going to have a smartphone conversation with my 7-year-old.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go up to those parents and be like, shake them. Like, what are you doing?
I know.
Like, what are you doing? Like, if you don't do it for you, do it for me. Man, like, please
come on, you're making this harder on me than it needs
to be. How about you just be a team player and like do this for us?
I know,
because this is crazy. And like the whole blue and green text message thing, that's been a big deal in Utah.
Yeah.
Some kids have literally gone to the extremes of not being excluded because they're not in the blue text message group.
The blue text.
Dude, I would go, I don't know. You talk about lying and fear, being fierce. I'd go kick someone's ass, dude. I'm like, I just want to
make them feel bad
like,
for having a green text message.
No, just like, why is that a thing? Yeah. We need to play football.
Yeah.
We need to go play sports. We need to be in like, or not sports, but like go swim or go do, swimming's a sport, but like go do music or band or like whatever.
Let them be kids.
Yeah, we need to be competing over sports. Over a game and not over a blue text message, man. That's wild.
I know. I think if there's anything I'm actually super passionate about that probably sums up everything I do, it is just passionate about children and kids and that they need to be kids.
Yeah.
And like, I think we just, kids are forced to grow up so fast in this world. And like, as silly as it sounds, that's kind of where we are with the Disney stuff is like, let them be kids. You know, our account is called it's called Happiest Kids on Earth. It's like, help your kids be happy. Help them have a childhood.
Yeah.
Like, let them be kids because you become adults so fast and then you're an adult for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And the phones, that's a very, very easy way to cause your kid to grow up a lot faster than they need to. They have their whole life to be on social media and use phones and figure that stuff out. Let them be a kid. Let them not worry about comparing themselves to someone they see online or politics that they read about online or news or like all the things that we carry every day.
Yeah.
You don't need to carry that yet. Like, let them be kids.
Yeah. Well, and I tell my kids, I mean, I tell the kids that I work with, like in church and stuff, I'll just be like, dude, and honestly, bro, I don't think there's going to be, I don't know what a job looks like in 20 years. I'm like, so if you think you're going to be late to something because you're not learning it now, I promise you, like TikTok wasn't a thing when I was a kid. And it's, I mean, TikTok's only like 2 years old, 3 years old, something like that. Something stupid like that. Right.
Yeah.
And you go like, dude, you're not going to miss anything.
Yeah.
It'll
probably, honestly, social media will probably be so different by the time our kids are teens.
And I hope it will be, because right now this is bananas.
Yeah.
I mean, adults can't handle. When you're talking about like, I get adults, like by schooling, I'm an accountant. And so I'll get people who ask me in finance, I'll get people who ask me, hey, I saw this TikTok video. What do you think? I'm like, that is totally bullshit. I'm like, if you did that, the IRS is going to knock on your door and arrest you for fraud. I'm like, why would you? I'm like, and then I go, why are people allowed to post that?
I know.
Like, I get it. I get it. The alternative is worse, which I'm not for censoring, but also, like, how did that even get through a filter?
We just have to be to a point where we can really manage our brains and filter information for ourselves and have, like, firm beliefs that we know how to stick by. And it's a learning curve. Your brain is not fully developed till you're 26. And I feel that I'm approaching 30 and I'm finally feeling like I have my feet on the ground. And most days I still don't feel that way.
Right.
So, I mean, it just takes a really long time to figure out this adult thing. Like, it just,
so funny. It takes
a long time.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Maren. Tell everybody where they can find you though. You've done that a couple of times, but cap it off where they can find you. And then we'll go from there.
Thank you for having me. First of all, this was so fun. And for my podcast, you can find it at the Mamahood Podcast on all major podcast platforms or at the.mamahood on Instagram. And then our Disney park packs and everything are at Happiest Kids on Earth. And if you do come and purchase with our presale, you will be entered into the Disneyland giveaway.
So
getparkpacks.com. Yeah.
Done. Thanks, Maren.
Thank you.